Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. Season 3, can you believe it? Few upgrades, I understand. I'm coming to the studio every Wednesday, and it's just beachside as well. So, yeah, sitting in an apartment in Phillip Island, ready to do my Wednesday night recording. Season 3, bring it on.
Yeah, beautiful. Might be a Thursday, but that's okay. That's it. On to season 3, maybe a little later start than we had last year, but I've just been chilling. You've just been chilling, which has been nice. And yeah, we've got some new gear that we're testing out. Done one small little sample with my wife, it'll work great. And then one small little sample with you, and not as much. So we'll see. we'll see if it works out well. What have you been up to over your break?
Yeah, chilling. Did some bike riding earlier in the week, which was pretty good. Went up to Lake Mountain, did the Cascades Trail with Hardy, Joel and Daz. And that's brutal. It's like the fifth time I've done it. I do it once a year, just long enough to remember how hard it is. Just to forget how hard it is. And it's killer. Hardy got about halfway and had to tap out. Daz got about 99% in. Daz basically finished. I finished, but went straight to the defibrillator. It's hard going.
Sounds brutal. I had some hopes to go do it, but I don't have a bike that's any good. So I was looking to rent something, and I don't know, it just didn't work out. So there wasn't much about, and the ones that were like $1 billion, and I was like, I don't really need to spend $1 billion to be terrible at mountain bike riding. So I let it slip.
But well played, I'm
glad you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was sick. Camping beforehand, at the pub beforehand. It was a good little weekend.
Yeah, love that. I've not been doing much. It's been great. I sleep a lot. I'm still off this week, and next week it's going to be rough because I'm averaging like a 9 a.m. wake up, and it's wonderful. I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. So next week I'm going to have to set an alarm and wake up and go to work. Yikes. I don't know how I do this all the time. all right, bit to get through. I've seen we had a few weeks off, but some of the biggest stuff is the player movements. So we've had a handful of stuff go down over in the US, and Innoverse seems to be clearing house a little bit, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. A big jam, stepping aside.
Yeah, I just that's crazy. What's his name? His running mates. Big Sexton, he's still around because they got to sell those sexy birds, I guess. But Big Germ, the Big Germ Thunderbird, has been a bit of a staple, and he's gone. So must be some dire times there at in Innova.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to read these. The way the players come out, the players are like, oh, you know, I'm making the decision. But no, it's definitely my suspicion that this is disc golf bubble popped, and this is just a lag. Like the lag, it popped a little while ago, but the lag's catching up with us. And it's definitely my theory that a few of these players are going to be playing for like some of those lesser named companies like Mint Discs and like the Alike. And I don't know, that's not a very secure income, I don't think. I don't know how viable some of those businesses are that popped up during the bubble, whether or not they can sustain. And any of those new ones popping up now as well, I just don't know how sustainable some of these businesses are. But going to be seeing a lot of big names without big name sponsors, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Emma Daddy out of there as well, and one of them, Ezra, has signed with Discraft. So I imagine Isaac is just right around the corner. Surely they're not splitting up, but you never know. And Kalavisca out of Prodigy as well. So who does Prodigy got even have anymore?
Yeah, great question. They've got Will Shoestreak. Will Shoestreak might have to make a return.
Yeah, exactly. I think Luke Humphreys might be their big dog. And from the sounds of things, I think he's working on some other tour that's happening alongside the Pro Tour anyway. So he's got his hands full. So interesting year. It's starting to all fall apart. I've always found it really weird. I do not understand why they sponsor players and stuff like that. I just can't imagine there's that much like a couple guys. I could see a couple people getting sponsored, but I just don't know how they had like 30 on a roster. And it was just like, how was Emerson Keith ever making in for money anyway? Like, I don't know. Never made much sense to me.
No, of course. It's like how much money I make Berks bags.
It's keep that on the down low. They might put out a V6 or something coming soon and you want to get that one.
No, of course I do. But like, I'm not sure what I do for Mike other than the fact I'm a legend.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I do for Mike. Mike does a lot for me.
No, it is very, very strange. So, but yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Still a few big names. I thought we were going to see what was happening with what's his face? Who's the GOAT? Wow, what can I remember his name at the moment? Climo.
There
was meant to be some announcement on the first, but I don't remember hearing anything about that. And then, yeah, hunting for a slot. So we'll keep our ears to the pavement.
We will. We definitely will.
So we had mentioned last year that they were talking about, or maybe it was brought up on Tour Life, that they were thinking about doing a step putt rule change, or maybe the Tour Life boys wanted to introduce that. But we've seen through the PDJ website, I think in the Disc Golfer magazine maybe, that whoever runs the PDJ has put out this concept that they might be moving the C2 out. No, sorry, that step putting might be not allowed even in C2. So you can only do it outside of C2. So nothing official yet, but I think they're putting some feelers out to see, you know, what people's interest is, or like how outraged people would be by that. And like at first glance, you might be thinking, you know, what a waste of time. That's only really a small, small percentage of people that are weapon C2 putters. But from what I've read, it's got nothing to do with being like too good at C2 putting. It's that they don't want people to have to make the calls on what's a step putt and what's not. Like, that's become such a big thing.
And, contentious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never really pay attention to it. But I guess because a lot less people, you know, even just at our shitty little tournaments, will be step putting from, doesn't bother me, three. But I know you're a big time step up guy. What do you think about it? Well, if you could vote,
I'd vote no change for sure. Yes, selfishly, but also it's a weird logic for me. Like, oh, they don't want to, you know, let's take that out of the player's hands. It's not cool because it's redundant. It's not cool because someone's getting advantage from it. Like, it's just such a redundant thing that, like, even super slow-mo doesn't pick up sometime. And I think, yeah, if it was pushed to circle three, then, yeah, if I've got a 21-meter putt, like, I feel like that's when it's most likely to be a fault. Like, when you're absolutely jumping before you throw, I don't know. I'd be voting no. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just, like, how many people are actually running it from 30 is sort of the concept, I think. I don't know. I couldn't care less if people want to step putt from 3 meters. Like, I don't really understand why you're not allowed to, for mine. But yeah, I guess if we did get rid of it completely, then it would get real sketchy to call. But, maybe as long as your foot was behind the marker before, you know, like, you don't have to have it actively in, you can jump and throw if you want. I don't give a shit. If they want to get rid of the decision making out of other players' hands, but I don't know. I think it's fine how it is. Most people just ignore it and move on with their lives.
Exactly.
We've also seen that the ADG has put out a bunch of changes. There's an article I'm reading now with a bunch of dot points for things that will be changing for the tour next year. A lot of it won't, you know, like, most people won't notice a lot of the changes and the things that come into effect. I think there's updated language on a lot of different things to clarify some certain set up a tournament, a bunch of stuff like that. A few of the things that jump out at me, though, is they're making it so the PDJ now has made it that any tournament where you offer an MA division, you have to offer a FA division as well. And for the people listening at home, MA is meant to be mixed amateur, so it's meant to be for men and women. It's not men's amateur. But yeah, to include, to make it more inclusive, I think, and encourage more women playing, which we're all for. If you're going to have an MA3, you have to offer an FA3. So I think it's only for the first week. So it's, you know, if no one ends up signing up, then you can get rid of that thing. But if one person decides they want to play in it, then they have to run it, which, yeah, is fine by me. If it gets more women playing, then that's great. And the ADG is going to include these new, well, not these new divisions, but the divisions FA3 and FP40, FA50 are all now part of the ADG tour, which we don't really keep too much track of anyway, unless I'm doing well.
Yes.
And the other thing I think you had keyed on pretty quickly, you put a post up on our socials, is about the minimum payouts at events. So what tickled your interest when you saw that?
Yeah, so the minimum percentage of net entry fees paid out at pro-ams needs to be 85%, but 100% is recommended. Like, don't even write that. Like, that's just a waste of time. It's 85%. You set the minimum. The recommendation means nothing.
Well, it says 100% recommended, but will be required from 2026.
Exactly, will be required in 2026. For the tours, you've got 75% of the champs and then 50% of an ADG tour needs to be paid out of the net, of the gross. Now, all of this is a lift in expectations, but I don't think it's lifted far enough. They've also said minimum purse, but the minimum purse is redundant. Like, they're saying the minimum purse for a tour major is $1,500.
Yeah.
But, like, that means you've had five people sign up. Yeah. Like, that's only a problem if five people sign up. Like, because the percentages will overweigh that. But still, I'm just left scratching my head. Like, Vic Open, as an example, if they've got 30 MPO players, they bring in nearly $5,000. Only 2.5 has to go to players. I don't know where that other 2.5 is meant to go if it's not going to the players. I think we're going to need more transparency with some of this moving forward, I think. Yeah, because the MPO scene in particular, we know they kick up a stink about this. I personally don't cash, never will, never have at a major, but some players have, and, you know, they're trying to justify traveling, and yeah, we're going to have to be, a bit more forthcoming with some of this information and not let it be a surprise after the event, like how much people are getting paid and stuff like that. Like, let's start publicizing this. I think transparency would go a long way in this field.
Yeah, 100%. I think, if they had to come up with a number and publish that at the start, then that can at least guide the pros' decisions on whether they want to show up at these tournaments or not. But, yeah, it's surprising. If they were going to do this, like put out an actual mandate that it has to be minimum this, like these are just low numbers. The MPO dudes are getting more than this already, and it's sad at it. If all of the events were to play at these minimums, then every single pro payout, I imagine, would decrease. So, real surprising that they – like, this is the first time I remember seeing this, so maybe there has been a requirement before, but I don't think so. It is surprising that they've gone so low, I think. Maybe they're – this building, like I said, it's 100% recommended for 2026 onwards at ADGC, and I guess that's the only tournament that they really have their full control over. The others, I think I remember seeing something, the others had changes for next year as well. I'm not seeing that now. But yeah, it seemed low. Doesn't really affect me, but it will kick up stink. Has there been much in the MPO chat? Any stink or nothing?
Nothing yet. I think everyone's on a break like us. But the difference between the word net and the word gross, like I don't even understand it on my paycheck, let alone understand it when it comes to disc golf. So like, what can I comp as tournament costings, and therefore this is my net entries. I don't know. There's a lot of gray in this.
Yeah, definitely up for a lot of TD discretion, I think, on what counts as value towards something, which could bring down the, they're starting to look at simply percentage of the gross entry fees, then the pros. Interesting to see that moving forward. I think at the upcoming GCC they got $1 million in it, so they're fine. We'll have to keep an eye on that at Sizzler and Tassie Open and so these other events coming up and see how they're doing.
Absolutely.
I've been seeing, I don't know if you've been seeing this, but all over Facebook and stuff, I've got all these people mapping out their discs. Like, they've got their full bag up on, like, a graph where it's got, you know, like it says Destroyer here and Pig here and whatever, and it shows against, like, speed and fade or net fade or whatever. And I was like, how are they doing this? So I had a bit of a closer look, and I saw that it had a website in the corner, so I signed up to that website and made my own graph of my bag, and I think it's pretty cool. I like it. You jumped on it as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. I'm trying to obviously expand my mid-range bag at the moment, so this is coming in clutch because it's really helping me. If it's 100% accurate, which I do have some questions, but it's definitely going to help me fill in and, like, I've got room for 5 speeds and I've got room for 6 speeds. And looking at someone like Darren's bag, who basically only bags 5 speeds, it's like, it's a stark difference. I only have one and it's brand new. So I've previously had no 5-speed discs.
It's wild. For those playing at home, the website is discrpm.com. So not to be confused with RPM discs, but discrpm.com. And it's really easy to do once you're there. And I was pretty happy. What's up? Because I got some that are low and middle and high speed. Like, it's all kind of pretty neatly distributed. I've got a few that end up on the understable side, but most of it that stands on the sort of just stable side. And then there's a big line down the middle of neutral discs, and it's like all the ones that I actually really throw. So it was pretty cool to see that. And then, when I looked at yours and there's just a giant gaping hole in the 5-9 area. You don't have a single disc in the speed 5-9 area that has any stability.
No, nothing.
Which is pretty hilarious. And then Dazza just had a billion discs, so he's got spots everywhere. Garrett, I guess, just has like multiple versions of the same disc, so he's got 7 discs on his on his thing, which is pretty funny. But it's cool, and it's nice to see it sort of popped out like that, but it is a little dodgy. I think we've got it's got the pig wrong, so you've got pig and rock in the same spot on yours, and mine's got pig and zone on the same spot, but they are not the same thing. But neither's a zone or a rock, so that's a little weird too. But it's not quite super great, but I think it was a good idea. They add the turn and the fade together and give you a net of it, which I don't mind a bit of that. But discrpm.com, chuck your bag in, use code Throwlers, and it's free.
Sick.
Might always be free, but all right, let's get some disc golf, shall we? We've had a couple events so far in the I think is, are they still calling it that? At least calling it the Summer Cup. So we had the, where'd it go? The one at Ruffy. Run at Ruffy. That's in 2024. I have to go back. That's crazy. That we didn't get that at the end of the year, did we? That was after our last pub.
Correct. And we also had Hot Start at the start of this year. Then we've had Strony.
Sounds good. We'll have a quick look. We won't go through all of it because, we've got a few to get through. But, Summer Cup, Ruffy Lake, there was only a couple MPOs. Ryan Deere absolutely smashed it over Ville in MA1. We had a pretty good battle, but I choked on a fat dick on the last hole, so lost to Brett Zeeble. So good win there, Brettie boy, finishing out the year. Most importantly, we both beat Penn. Paul Arden gets it done at MA40. And Glenn Ralston, the big winner in MA50. Like, that's a big get there, I reckon, for Glenn. Winning over Mike Vanderlyn, Kerry Edwards, Jeff Brunsing in there, Matthew Finnegan. Huge win for Glenn.
You're massive.
Martin Goh smashed it as well. Him and Peter Chu both put up very good scores. Martin Goh gets it done at MA2. Max Tatz, solid win over Ash Widener and Haley Cooper Ryder in MA3. They're the only three people in the division who went under par. And Wayne Hood smashing everyone in MA4. So
yeah, he did.
That's how we ended the year. How did we start the year?
Yeah, so then we went straight over to Hot Start, which, if I can find the correct tab that has that one open, after he's getting one done by Ryan Deere a week earlier, goes smack. Ryan Deere found himself down in the bottom hanging out with Mikey Hare. Good win over Darren Slay-Smith and Tim Bowen with a 993 and a 968. So hot event there at -9. MA1 yourself with a 960 event. Big stuff. Smoke show over Tim Webb, another victory over Penn Lu and Chris Scott. So some formidable names in there. And Kalen hanging out, playing some MA3 golf in MA1 by the look of things. MA40, Cooper Thompson got it done over Paul Arden, so one apiece there. Mike Vanderlinden gets it back, followed by Mike Spangenberg with a great event at Bald Hill. Glenn Rolson actually found himself in third, and then the better Bunsting in fourth. MA3, Ash Widener, he gets the W. Max Tatz, DNF. So couldn't play round one or something happened there with Max Tatz. So Ash Widener was able to get the chocolates. And then none other than Zach Schlafel getting the victory in MA4.
What was that one?
There was Zach. Zach Schlafel.
Yeah, I don't know. Schofield, maybe? I don't know. That's wild. But we'll go with what you said. We had Lucas Weber played in the morning, but not in the Arvo, and Max was just hanging around. So I said, hey, you want to jump in? And he did. With about 3 minutes to spare, I added his name to the list, and he put a solid round in round two. So
he did.
Pretty good. It was a cool course. So Dazza designed a course there. I don't know if you saw the map or not, but it was good. So we had a few new holes. So somehow Dazza still finding holes that we've never ever played at Bald Hill, which is awesome. And they were pretty cool. So a couple of wild ones, like the wildest one we had was playing from the tee pad of 16 to the basket of 5.
Okay.
So there was a Mando that you couldn't go like the hyzer play that some people sometimes do, like the Aiden route. So you sort of had to shoot the gap. I still threw a Tommy over the top. All that path and stuff on the left was out of bounds, and then the road and everything was. So you basically want to just maybe juice your drive, your normal drive, a little bit, and then try to throw something high over the top. I went Tommy. Got it in the Arvo, which was pretty nice, but not so much in the morning. But yeah, that was cool. The whole layout was really good. Playing tough. Some pretty good scores. And I fucking smoked everyone. So pretty good for me there about that one. I think my biggest win before this, we had only had a field of 4 in it. So field of 7's getting it done.
It is.
And some dudes that normally kick my ass. So that was good to see. I almost choked it. Like 3-4 holes in, Chris Scott had already caught me. And I'm like, all right, sick. But but I held it together, and everyone else crumbled a bit. So yeah, I'm surprised, but get it done. Good start to the year.
Well done. Saying it does. It's definitely no coincidence that Tim Bowen makes his rookie appearance at PDGA events at Bald Hill. Bald Hill always rates. It's no pits spectacularly well. And so I think I'm not surprised that Tim Bowen finds himself on a list there at Bald Hill often. An alternate version of hole 10, like a double Mando from down to an absolutely basted. So nice. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. There was a few good holes. So good layout. Yeah, brought back some holes that we've played a while ago, some that we played at Club Champs and stuff. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Daz did a good job. Made a cool new par four out of, you know, that one that's like way off in the corner where the dog park is? There's just you throw like a mid or something to that bushes. Daz pushed it back another 50 meters or something, 60 meters, made it a par four. And so it was really challenging. It was really hard to get to like your ideal spot. So you could get somewhere pretty good, but then you still had to be crafty to get around the next sort of load of trees. And it took some big numbers for some people, but it should just like, you look at it and you're like, I should just get a three every time. So, yeah, no, that was fun. He's done a good job. We had a late start too. So, yeah, we had 12 o'clock start and good crew showed up. Weather was nice. Got a little windy in the Arvo, so I think the worst rounds in the Arvo rated roughly to about the same rounds in the morning. But, yeah, good times. And, yeah, big win for me. Undefeated in 2025. Who would have thought?
Flying.
And then we went to Summer Cup Stony Creek. So they tested out the new layout for that. So I didn't realize you got to play it when you were asking me, and I gave you way too detailed of a description then when you already knew what the holes were. Sorry about that. But from what I'm hearing is that they are trying to get a layout that will get across the board with the council there and the Friends of Stony Creek. So avoiding throwing on or over paths was a big part of it. And you remember the old Stony layout, throwing on and over paths was a big part of that layout. especially with the two other holes, hole 4 and 5, where they've given it the whole 110 treatment, where they've just picked a tree and said one of them's Mando one way and one of them's Mando the other. So, yeah, I think they're great. Both those holes work out great. A couple of the others are just a bit, yeah, meh, but I don't know. I think they've done a really good job with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think bring it on for the Social League series again. Yeah, I thought it played really fun. Yeah, definitely enjoyed the 4-13 mix-up with the left and right. And yeah, I'm just keen for Stony to be back on the scene. And I might be able to take some scalps again.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it should hopefully be having some social days next year. So that'd be cool. I think it's still played about the same score-wise. What do you think?
So, yeah, I think it will play about the same. It won't be markedly different, like not even a stroke if there is any difference. They've just played a small sample size league day there tonight, and Sam Stoyer pulled in a -9, which feels pretty hot, and that rated at 960. So, yeah, I feel like that checks out. It's a really small sample size, though, so the ratings are hard to gauge, but Sam Stoyer -9, that's hot going.
Mm. Well, we only had one MPO show up to the Summer Cup one, and it was Ville, and he did okay. He shot -11. It's not okay. -11 overall. He needed to be doing better than that. In MA1, it came down to a playoff with myself and Penn. After round one, there was a four-way tie between Penn, myself, Seb, and Sam Stoyer. We were all on -6, and just thought there was more out there. But like I said, if it's normal Stony, I'm not normally very happy with the 6, looking more of an 8 or 9 sort of setup. But yeah, we all ended up on it, so it was fine. And then I just came out flying. I don't know if you saw, but we started at hole 1 and I birdied 8 of the first 9. Just didn't get hole 8 because you can't cheat and throw a Tommy over the top anymore. They make you do the Mando through the tunnel. Then, yeah, just a good bunch of pars after that. And then threw out of bounds a couple of times for some bogeys. And all of a sudden, Penn was getting a few birdies. You know, hole 5, how you got to go Mando forehand? The alternate, sorry, 14.
Yeah.
So, you know how everyone just plays that shitty little flex shot into the bushes and you take a 3?
Sure.
or you can play the high hyzer over the out of bounds the whole time. Penn, and I did see someone else try it, just sort of threw the low hyzer, still inside the fence, and sort of just getting over those bushes. And he did it really, really well. So he got a very nice birdie on that. Yeah, started coming good. And then, like I said, a couple out of bounds for me, and all of a sudden we're tied with a couple holes to go. We both birdie the absolute dinker 17, and then 18, he puts a little short with his forehand. And my forehand wasn't great that day, so I went back to the Tommy on hole 18, and it just went long. So I rolled out of bounds long. He misses his putt. I can mine. We're tied, so we got a hole one. I lean on the forehand and juice it a little. He puts his pretty close, and then I had to sort of straddle. You know that one? It was like almost in my way, so I had to straddle from like 7-8 meters, and I missed it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. So Penn gets that one on me. We're 1-1 on the year. That prick. But they're coming out nice, so we'll see how we go. So Penn takes it down over myself. Seb Gutierrez there, and Sam Sloyer could not buy a putt in the second round. Could not buy one. So, poor Sam.
You'd be looking forward to a ratings update by the looks of things.
Yeah, so I think so. Coming along nicely. It's a good start to the year for me.
Yeah.
Cooper Thompson with the equal hot score with myself and Penn of -14. So, too good for Al Don, which was only a couple behind in MA40. Cooper's a good dude. I was having a chat with him. We're going to see a lot of him this year, I think. American dude, but he's still going a little back and forth, but he's moving here with his wife, who's Australian. So, yeah, going to see plenty of Cooper. I think he's going to head down to some of these Stony leagues fair bit. He reached out to me earlier about that too.
Awesome.
Eamon Dawson gets it done over Alex Evans in the MA50. Nice round for him. Cameron Pope smashes the MA3 crew. So I played with Cameron at the Ruffy event. It was his first ever event. He's an ultimate guy, so he's got a little bit of that in him already. But second event, and he gets a win in MA3 over some stalwarts, you know, Ash Whedon, Dave Wood, Matt Daniels, Levi Norton is in there, and then the other chumps from Parked. So that's good. Keep an eye out on Cam. Could be a goer. But yeah, -4 for him, -1 there for Ash. Right behind him, Ash played above rating, so Cam's here to stay.
I'm seeing a +11 from Matty Farina in one of the rounds.
That's disappointing.
What is happening there?
I don't know. That's disappointing. Come on, Matty.
It was hot.
I don't know.
It took a snowman on all four.
That's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Your mate Pat Eldridge with the win in MA4 pretty comfortably there over Toby Beasley.
Charged home round two. Did hear about that. -6 round two.
Big. Very big. Yeah, very nice big round for him.
Yeah.
And then I think next up is not this weekend because we got Ballarat, but we'll be in Melton. And are you the TD? Am I saying that?
You are saying that. I am Mr. TD himself. So look at us. We volunteer as hard as it gets, Alan. And we are TD in January. Who would have thought it?
Who would have thought? No, yeah. I love that. I saw you kept trying to guilt Penn into running the event. And then he was asking what was some of the behind the scenes stuff. I gave him a bit of a rundown. He says, I don't want to do that. And so I said, well, I can do all that crap if you want to actually be there on the day and around the tourney, and he says, sounds great. And then I guess I waited too long. And before I knew it, you'd already made up the page, talked to the AG, and I'm like, sweet, that's great. So I didn't have to do it.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It helps when only 12 people have signed up.
Yeah, that's it. I might shop. I'll see. It's a little bit of disc golf going on with this weekend. So, and I'm pretty keen to check out the full 18 at Llewellyn. So if I can only do one, it might be Llewellyn, but I'm not signed up for either. As of yet. But yeah, get on board, people. The ace pot is
left by the time it goes to Llewellyn. That is going down at Melton.
Surely. Yeah. Aces are plenty there. So that'd be cool. Up and about as well. So if you want to be part of that, that is on Thursday nights. So it's on one of the Disc Golf in Melbourne chats. I think there's one that's like linked to the Facebook page. Anyway, I don't know. You'll be able to figure it out. If you can't, reach out to one of us or Sam Stoyer. And we'll get you in the chat, but yeah, bit of PDJ League action going on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we've got the Golden City Classic on this weekend too, which would be a lot of fun. So I've seen T-pads going in at Xavier, and I'm seeing baskets go in at Vic Park. So how good's that?
Yep, and those baskets have already been christened as well.
I did see that in our socials. What was the story?
Yeah, so they're all holes we've played before. They're great holes. So it's the extension of hole 7, the extension of hole 9, and the extension of hole 15. So they'll be awesome additions to the regular blue course there at Vic Park. But yeah, the extended hole 9 off to the right, Ryan Hart cashes a massive sidearm to get the ace.
Huge. That's such a good shot. I find that to be very tough.
Yeah.
I'm having a quick look at the Golden City Classic, and there is a shark in the water. I don't know if you've seen the updated list.
I certainly have.
But it was all looking fun. We had Aiden Howard as the highest rated player there. Blake Nichols, Clayton Beck, Leo Dykes, Ryan Hart, Ryan Deere. Like, everyone's in the mix. Ville, Ryan Michelle, Ethan Lewis stepping up into NPO. It could have been anyone's game. And then now Dave Perry signed up.
Yes.
So good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Seeing Timmy Ware's name in MP40. That's pretty cool. I wonder if that's got to do with the fat purse that's up for grabs.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
The five people, they'll surely pay out two of them.
So obviously Ruben Berg, he's fresh off a couple of pier drops, actually. Ran into Ruben Berg just about half an hour ago. Down at the pier, jumping in off the pier, said g'day, and I was like, "Oh, you're playing GCC?" He's like, "Yep, this is my prep." I'm like, "Well, you're going to win." So they're playing for second in MP40, no doubt about that. But yeah, hopefully they pay out the top two.
And it's anyone's up for grabs, I reckon. Timmy Ware, Chris Hart, Al Don, Mark Boland. That'd be a good battle. We're all looking at Benny O'Byrne in MA1. Last time at Xavier, Chris Scott and Benny were sort of the two front runners there, but Henry Arnold in the mix, so that's pretty cool. He's coming down. Penn's there as well. I'll be there for that one. A few other good names. Camille Abratansky, he reckons he's going to smash me. He's got new form and everything, so we'll see.
We'll see.
But that'll be a bit of fun. A couple of girls there in the FA1 as well. MA40 filling out a bit. Taz will be there with Jay. And someone from WA, Lee Baker. So that'll be interesting.
It will.
MA50, always a big division. No Jeff. He's going off for some work. But, that'll be a tight one too, I reckon. Carey maybe not 100% after having that loss at Ruffy.
Yeah, exactly. Tommy Jankar's looking the goods in MA2, but a couple of very familiar names in that division. But I'm sure Tommy's looking to have a more consistent. Now, have you seen the man himself, the myth, the legend, is back in MA3?
Who am I looking for? Let me read these names out. Riley Sanders. Oh, jeez, there we go. No shit, I did miss that. Mr. 150 meters himself.
Mr. 150 himself is making an appearance. So, look, I expect big things from him, particularly at the Vic Park with some of those longer holes.
Mm.
I don't know how he'll fare in the woods. It could be a complete shit show. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that might shake out.
Yeah, for those who don't know, because he doesn't appear much, but Riley's a young fella from Ballarat. And what, Chris, you saw him on hole 6, the par 5?
Yeah.
And he, ripped over, what's that gross disc?
Cloudbreaker.
Yeah, ripped over a Cloudbreaker and then got all the way down the end, like past the Mando.
Yeah. I've also, he's a big lefty. I've seen him throw past the 11th basket at Vic Park. The boy can throw.
And I've also seen him shoot plus 50. 50.
Yeah.
So he's a conundrum. But yeah, good to see him back on the scene.
I'm seeing a lot of this next name in MA4 as well. So I feel like he wasn't around much in 2024. I don't know if my eyes are deceiving me, but I'm seeing his name everywhere at the moment. Ash Brookes.
Yeah, he must have quit his job. That's the only thing. Yeah. He must have caught one of those that episode when we were talking to Peter Chu. So, yeah, he might have broke up with the missus, quit his job, whole shebang, and just focusing on disc golf. And I couldn't be more proud of him.
Well done, Ash. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Now, it's going to be a lot of fun. One round at Xavier and one round. Really good. 85 people at the moment. Hopefully bump it up to about 90 or so. Yeah, looking exciting. Have you got much else?
Oh, look, we got to obviously do some spotlight, not lights. And now that we're into a new season, I think we need some feedback. You know, do we bring back the Falls Guarantee? Do we set a new benchmark? Do we keep going with the trollers? I feel like we need a bit of feedback from our listeners about what we should be doing. But I'm definitely good to go with the spotlight, not light.
Yeah, nice. I did forget about the Falls Guarantee. Actually, we should definitely bring that back. Should have thought about that, but we can. We can get that going. Next week, yeah, we'll hear out what the listeners have to say. But I think that was good. Have you got any spotlights and not lights? What do you got?
Yeah, I do. I'll start with not lights. We've spoken about these a little bit. Honourable mention. I went back to back dubs this week. So went to Bald Hill and then the very next night went out to Ruffy, and I did not make a dollar. So honourable mention, not light is myself for not making a dollar at dubs. But the ADG minimum percentage payouts, just too much grey for me. Weird thing to kind of throw up on your socials and be like, hey, we've lifted this and you've lifted it to what? Like, what was it before that? I don't know. So that's getting my not light. I'm a bit lost there.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Mine goes to the PDGA. Straight up, I'm mad at the PDGA. So the hot start, I made sure that I had all the financial stuff sorted on the thing ahead of time, so that once the events were final, I went home, I had a quick look to make sure that I hadn't stuffed anything, and I hit submit event report, because our man, Darren State-Smith, should have been the number one ranked global master in 2025. I should have been the highest ranked amateur in the whole world. There was a lot of things. There was a lot of masters that would have been high on that list. We would have had some real nice stats. What's the point of having the first tournament of the year, the whole world, if you can't do well on it and just take a nice screenshot about how you're number one in the whole world?
Exactly.
At one stage in 2025, I was the best MA1 player in the whole world. And I've got nothing to show for it. It's bullshit. I'm looking on Darren's page right now. It still has 2024 Global Masters rank. I went on and I went to like check stats and things like that, and all you could check was 2024. It is bullshit. It's 2025. We're even 9 days in, but one day in, they should have got their shit together. How hard is it? How hard is it to have the reset? That's bullshit. Fuck. Yeah, I'm mad. Peter J, you get my not like. Get your shit together. It's 2025, guys.
We're going after the big dogs in our not lights this week. All right. Spotlight's got a couple honourable mentions. You touched on it. Ballarat Disc Golf has to get an honourable mention. The tee pads and new baskets at Vic Park, they're always just like going from strength to strength in Ballarat. Honourable mention. Another one, speaking of making appearances at Ruffy, I was out there the other day, ran into Berg's Bags, having a Christmas do. Love that by Mike. Good stuff. But none other than DP himself was there. And hear me out. Back-to-back spin-out aces, hole 17, hole 18. We witnessed 18. They're walking up to the tee pad. They're like, oh, DP just had the most dirtiest spin-out I've ever seen. I was just like, he's just had back-to-back spin-out bouts. But my actual spotlight has to go to us, Alan. We are taking, we are absolutely taking this spotlight. We are taking up mental real estate. Got to run into Aiden Howard at doubles, and boy, did he quiz me about who was the snake in the grass that threw in the not light about his trash talk. And it just fills me with pride to know that we're taking up real estate. Obviously, this one is thanks to our anonymous listeners for giving us that particular one. But it's just good to be reminded that that's why we exist. We are here to take up some real estate. And boy, it feels good to take up some agents.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. Oh, you hear that? You got a bit of a round of applause.
Yes.
We can do that now. Oh, I've got to dial in these buttons, but there. No, I like that. Good spotlight for you. I got an honorable mention I forgot about, so I'm glad you mentioned that up. But yeah, Ryan Diak gets an honorable mention for his absolute brutal spit out at Ruffy as well, at that first Ruffy tournament. So he should have had about a $70 ace bounty, but he did not. Hole 17, I think it is. Yeah, 17. Just back up the hill, playing to the basket on the right. He's throwing a Luna, and it just tracked straight at it the whole time. Just like a slight drift to the right. Never once looked like missing. It was just a Luna. Like it wasn't coming in hard. It was coming in like a Luna would. And he hit it in the middle of the basket, and it just came right back at him. Brutal. So he gets an honorable mention for a sick throw. But my spotlight, a bit of an out-of-blocks one here, but it has to go to Sean Freeman. He's copped a bit of stick from me on this pod a few times for throwing a million shots at hole 18. Every single year, Sean watches a million movies, and he takes good notes on his movies and gives them a rating. And at the end of the year or the start of the year, he puts out a huge list of every single movie he watched that year and what he thought about it and what the numbers are. So if you're ever thinking, hey, wouldn't mind checking out such and such movie, you can go over to Sean Freeman's Facebook page and then just have a peruse, and you can find out whether you think that might be worth your while or not. I love it. I look at it every year. I think it's so good. I'm scrolling at it now to see how many it is, but it's so many movies. Give me a sec. Went too far. It is 141 movies. Oh, Jesus. Oh, and there's some in the comments, I think. Yeah, crazy man. He, it's sick. And any movie you can think of is there. He's got like, and then he does a bit of a summary at the start, like what was the best new movie he saw, what was the best old movie he saw, stuff like that. I just think it's really cool. He's a disc golf guy, so it can count as a spotlight. So yeah, Shawnee Freeman.
Yeah, good one. I like that. I'll have to check it out. I've never seen that.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, it's cool. He does it every year. It's dope. Just for you, people playing at home, the best new movie he saw this year, well, last year, was The Zone of Interest. The best new old movie, so I guess it's an old movie he hadn't seen, is called Living. And then the best old movie, so I assume that's an old movie that he had seen, is The Lighthouse.
Oh, Lighthouse, good.
Yeah. All right.
The others I've not heard of.
Yeah, neither. But no, he's got a million movies. It's cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. Well, you're down in Philippi. Don't start shitting the bed at Ballarat this weekend. Hopefully they still keep coming out nice. And hopefully this all works. The new technology. I don't know. I could be getting another knotlet next week for this not working, but I think we're okay. We did a couple little tests, and I think they came out good in the wash. So we'll see.
All right. Look forward to listening.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Peace out.